Morning lecture, 29th of October. In the year of whatever it was, the start of this double set of millennia, 1953. This morning, had a happy little thought this morning. You know how you, in the comic strips, how he dashes around and time travel to various civilizations and so forth. Well, a very, very pleasant little game to play is to just consider yourself from that viewpoint, you see, and start looking at this society. It's very amusing. Picked up a dime this morning with the head of somebody on it, and it was obviously a king, a date on it with 1935, so obviously this country had a king in 1935, so obviously there's been a revolution. And so on, and so I think I better ask a few people about the revolution. Obviously there was a king in 1935, with his head on a coin. Now we don't have one now. It's General somebody or other. Well, generals ordinarily succeed rules and so forth, so it must have been a palace revolution. Probably the captain of the guard or something like that. And if you ever feel terribly bored with the terrific seriousness of this society, just pick up some bric-a-brac on it and just start to extrapolate and try to figure out what the society is all about. What do you know? You come up with much better history, much better purposes that are presented to it. Well, this morning, now that you know all there is to know on the subject of spaceation, there's hardly anything I have to offer at all. Of course, it does happen that the last few weeks we seem to have been going over an awful lot of other stuff that probably should fit in some place. But naturally, with spaceation and our world process, we obviously don't need it, so we will go into the rest of spaceation this morning. And I have to kind of keep tabs on what we're doing here a little bit, and once in a while write it down on a piece of paper. Sometimes even put the piece of paper down here on the desk, and sometimes even read it. Let's look immediately at a couple of facts with regarding anchor points. And let's correlate anchor points and attention for a change. And we will find immediately that attention falls into two categories, which is too much and not enough. The norm has not been discovered in this universe yet. That is to say, the ideal, pardon me, has not been discovered in this universe yet, but one of these days somebody will discover the ideal amount of attention, past, present, and future, and will, of course, the universe will stop moving. Because the only way you really get any randomity, tying in randomity immediately into attention, is to have plus attention or minus attention. Either have too much attention or too little attention on something or not on something. So we find out that our Clayton brought up, exteriorized, he just goes along beautifully up to the point where he discovers once again he has too little attention. This morning, somebody telling me about what is the significance of it. Car appeared where no car was. The next thing PC knew, he was standing there with his hand on the fender of the car. It stopped, but it took a long time. He had to jim up somebody's control centers or do something of the sort in order to get the car stopped. But anyway, it came to him as a shock. He didn't know quite what was on the time track immediately back of this. Well, I'll tell you what was on the time track immediately back of this. Of course, I wouldn't evaluate for him, so he'd better put his fingers over his ears for a moment. But it was just minus attention, too little attention. Now, it doesn't matter whether the car appeared by supernatural means. He still should have been able to have enough attention to detect a supernaturally appearing car before it appeared. See how obvious this is. So nearly anybody running this society today is running on minus attention. Now, you start to ask somebody to get attention, and what do we run into? We run into the fact that it's awareness, and that is debarred to him by pain. And the pain of the situation is intolerable, so his answer to that is to be unconscious. What is unconscious? Unconscious is minus attention, minus randomity. It's also the end product of no responsibility. Now, no responsibility and unconsciousness and too little attention are, of course, all lumped up into the subject of too few anchor points or not enough attention to anchor points. So, all this starts to look a little more intelligible, I hope, because anchor points are completely unnecessary unless you're going to put some attention around, because you wouldn't care whether there's any space there or not unless you wanted to do something with attention. Well, you try to turn on some pre-clear's attention and turn up his attention units a little bit higher, and this is going to turn up his awareness, which is going to turn up immediately his consciousness, which is going to bring him into expanding lines, and as they expand, because you're going to get him into more space, you see. So his anchor points are going to start going out from him. He's going to have more space. And the next thing we know, we are into a situation whereby he hurts. So he immediately turns down the volume control on attention, which brings him back to a comfortable amount of space. He has to have a comfortable amount of space because he doesn't have enough attention. See? What is a comfortable state of mind? Well, it would be have just enough space to be taken care of by the amount of attention which you were able to put out. Now, we wonder why these cases get very upset and very fidgety and so forth when we try to change their perception level. It's perception. Of course, and the subject of anchor points is the subject of attention, is the subject of unconsciousness and consciousness, and sensation and effort and all the rest of it, and we wind it all up there together rather neatly, and we see that we try to push this fellow's attention units out any distance. Nuh-uh. His anchor points expanding of something he can't tolerate. So that you find a case that's being very comfortable on 1 cubic micromillimeter of space, the average person, you find him being comfortable with that, and all of a sudden, you start pulling his tension units out, by pulling his anchor point units. And you try to pull these out, and he doesn't like that. Well, that's ridicule, is the way he expresses it emotionally. You start pulling somebody's anchor points out very fast. See? That's loss. And you pull them out slowly and hold them, that's ridicule. If you really ridicule is to pull them out slowly, hold them there, and let the next few pile up before he notices it, then that's ridicule. You take any case that has too little attention, start to extend his anchor points and become very restless unless you use just anchor point processing. He gets nervous, upset. He gets feeling like he's being ridiculed. And if you were to suddenly let go of the anchor points, say, all right, he says, yap, 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 I don't want to be processed and so forth. I'm from tone 5 to 8 on the tone scale, and I don't need to be processed and so forth. Well, just the threat that you're an auditor or possibly might give him a straight wire question is sometimes enough for one of these people. And if you want to know what a sudden antagonistic reaction to you or Scientology amounts to, it's just that. You might ask him a question. You might do something. You're dangerous. So he goes in an immediate barrage of protection. He's trying to use you as an anchor point and then hold you off. That's quite a trick. And so, in trying to shove you away, his antagonism, of course, is just shotgunning all over the place. Now, you come up and you say there's a subject, Scientology, that's been doing things for people. And we can probably do something about your wife's obsession with tiddlywinks, something like that. And you immediately are taken aback by the fact that the fellow says, "Oh, one of them quack things, huh?" Where'd that reaction come from? Suddenly realize that somebody might do something to expand his anchor points. And then you say, "Well, all right, if we don't want to talk about it, that's perfectly all right with me if you don't want to talk about it." Then he really gets kind of sore. Why? You betrayed him. How'd you betray him? Well, you... This is his level of ridicule and betrayal. You might have pulled something out of him, and now you have shoved back in the possibility that you might have pulled something out. How completely nebulous it is. So he's betrayed. Yes, I knew one of his artists once. He didn't do me any good at all. I talked to him for over 30 seconds. That's about the way it works, you see. I mean, this the threat of something coming out or coming in. Well, people go forward into the future to anticipate the behavior of anchor points because they know very well they cannot regulate the behavior of anchor points because they can't control anchor points. This they're convinced of. Well, how do we tie attention then in with this, and what does it do for a case? You'll always find that a case has his attention on an anchor point or a cloth of anchor points. This is what we know as the play I was talking about yesterday. Every one of them is playing play. Well, what play is it? It's what I'm doing with my anchor points at the moment. It's the real name of the play. But he has some sort of a pattern which he's trying to maintain. He has his attention too fixed or too dispersed. And in any one case, you could make the grand statement that covers the whole case. He's a case of too fixed attention units. Take a nuclear physics system. And you could make the grand statement about another case, completely embracing statements, you see. While his attention units are much too dispersed. Some clerk in a cosmetics counter. And you look at her and it's all over the place. And nothing settles on anything, you see. You say, "Well, her attention is too dispersed." Well, then don't be surprised as an auditor, having made this postulate and hung your pre-clearing with it, that the next thing you discover is a condition with a too fixed case of too much dispersal. And with the too dispersed case, too much fixation on something. Because it goes in successive waves, and these successive waves go to make up the descending spiral, the tone scale, DEI, cycles of action. All of these things fit in right into the same problem. Now, ridges are points where attention is too fixed. There are too many anchor points per unit of space if the ridge is a painful or unwanted ridge. So what do? You've got too many anchor points in the same unit of space. Now let's take where we have no attention. I mean, it's just all over the place. You really have a condition there of unable to fix on any anchor point. And you'll find that there's a near vacuum around this person. There's just no attention units in the wall, no anchor points in it. So, these two conditions are the two conditions of the case, but both conditions change as the spiral is unwound backwards or as it proceeds down through life. You find this girl who is scattering her attention here and there, will eventually get into a situation where her, well, something happens. Wife and some young fellow marries her, or something, leaves her, or something happens like that. All of a sudden, her attention goes bang and fixes. That's how you hypnotize somebody. You lead him into dispersing his anchor points all around, and then making him suddenly fix on one anchor point. It's very curious. I had this happen a few times. One notable time, I noticed this was, I was just a kid, and it was a situation which had a little bit of, a lot more drama than is permissible on this planet. Down along the docks, and this, I had a ship, the old Doris Hamill, and a sailor who was wobbling around and pretty darn drunk, took out a knife and started in my general direction. And I planted a shot exactly the part of his head. That's exactly that. It's very dramatic, but this doesn't happen very often in this place. You don't get this opportunity. Young and don't care what the police say. The guy went into a complete hypnotic trance. Attention unit was completely dispersed all over the place, you see. And all of a sudden, this slug and a sudden noise takes a few of the hairs on the top of his crown of his head. And it was no impact there or anything like that. Knocked his hat on. He went into a complete hypnotic trance. He just stood there, and his eyes dilated from the relatively small point there, completely out. They just went, vroom. There he was. Anyway, I said to him, seeing something that had happened to him with regard to this, I said, you will now be a model sailor. And will be very obedient to your captain. He was. For years, though, I wondered why he got sick after he left that ship. He got real sick, just riding once in a while. What he could ride. Real mean. I keyed in space opera. And space opera, they used to just walk aboard the ship automatically. You see, usually drunk, something of the sort, or under dope. And they'd no more pass through the airport of the spaceship as it was parked in port, like out here at the airport or something of the sort. Recruit would no more walk through than there'd be a zzzz on both sides of the airport, and he was indoctrinated. High speed, you will be obedient to the commands of the officers. You will not mutiny. You will not leave the confines of the ship. You are dedicated to the job of being a tubeman third class. See, just zoom. And he's all set then, sailors and walk around. Completely controllable, except, of course, when they mutiny and kill their officers and stole ship. Anyway, the other method of indoctrination was to put somebody in a... He'd go aboard, and he'd lie down and go to sleep in the bunk that had been assigned to him, and a little box over the top of the bunk would go... Bzzz, and he would be completely indoctrinated. What did those little boxes do? They simply completely fixed his attention. Bam! Sometimes cruder old tramps, they'd have a doctor or something of the sort, and he'd just give them a shot and give them narcosynthesis and tell them sort of thing. Didn't have any modern conveniences on those ships. Now, you would think that the officers were pretty bad beasts who did that. What do you know? They were indoctrinated, too. A line or owners or something like that, or the state, would pick up these officers and... You're an officer. You will not, and this is interesting with the crew, you'll find people doing this in this society, still dramatizing old space opera, because this society does it like mad too. A crew member, you will not go forward into officer's quarters. You must not cross the line of class on officers. In other words, you mustn't ever pants are up or talk up to officers. And the officer was indoctrinated never to feel himself even vaguely associated with a crew member. And the idea of the crew was put straight into his head, and his own responsibility with regard to the crew and so forth. But he was never given to believe that they were human beings that breathed and everything. And so you had very nice, smoothly operating lines. Why was this necessary? You had so much space that an officer going off a little bit or a crewman going off a little bit would mean the immediate loss of a ship, because you stop and think of what you could do with a spaceship of almost unlimited range. Just go over to another galaxy and set up a kingdom. There's hardly been a single man in space opera who hasn't played God or king or government, simply on the process of stealing a ship and going and setting things up elsewhere. So you see, these indoctrinations were real rough. They make the psychiatric electric shock these days look like the patty cake that it is. Now, the odd part of it is these ships were very often surrounded by points of light, which were the demarcation points of furthest departure on the part of the crew and on the part of the junior officers. It's real interesting. In other words, they gave them anchor points, and they didn't dare leave those anchor points. Now, you wonder why the devil and how in the name of common sense somebody is stuck on the time track and space opera. Just look at that operation. Nearly anybody who gets into the armed services, particularly the Navy today, will get space opera keyed in. Most spaceships are gray, so on. Well, all right, I'm just giving you this not as pleasant history, but as something very important. You give him the feeling that he must not exceed a certain limit of space. Now, how did you do that? How would you go about doing that? You get his attention, his own anchor points, which are actually in defensive patterns. And you get them dispersed so that he wasn't looking any place. And then you would suddenly come through with a crusher, which was not in words, but which merely fixed him in a space. If you notice, I said space opera, the indoctrination was done as he stepped through the airlock. It would give him that much space, and that's all the space he had. In other words, it fixed all of his attention on that space. Simply by making that space intolerable, and then creating a vacuum. See, a sudden shock. And that's intolerable, but it overflows any remaining anchor point pattern which he has erected. And that, of course, comes in, and as it comes in, it leaves a vacuum. That vacuum is appetite, wantingness, whatever you want. So he wants to stay in the spaceship. Now, you'll get pre-clears who can't leave their own homes. Well, this is partially because home at first was so intolerable to them. Their original homes and so forth were so intolerable, they couldn't tolerate the idea of even staying in them for a moment, and then somebody forced them to stay in them. And the next thing you know, why, they wanted to stay in this in a closed space. They don't know why, you see, but they just do. And they do stay in closed spaces. It just keys in on electronics and everything else on the track. Other determinism could be considered to be the process of disarranging and then rearranging one's anchor points, or arranging carefully and then disarranging one's anchor points. That's other determinism at work. What other people do? They try to get you to arrange anchor points quietly and orderly and nicely so that they can disperse them with great suddenness. Or they disperse your anchor points one way. They'll give you a lot of bad news and all that sort of thing, so they can suddenly drive through with the big king-size impact, which of course fixes your attention. what's happened to your frequency. It's just this pattern has been going on and on and on and on and on. His anchor points have been unfixed and scattered and then suddenly fixed in a pattern. Or fixed in a pattern and then scattered. And we've just got this continuous cycle of unfixing all these anchor points and then giving him PAM. Now that, in essence, is the operation of the between lives area at this time. See? His anchor points are nicely fixed, even the body, all of a sudden the body kicks off. Now that's a shock which disarranges his anchor points, the death shock. There's an actual electronic shock of death. You could put a rabbit on it and kill a rabbit, and you could read the meter on it and find out it's quite a large electrical shock. And then, with that dispersal of anchor points, he has, quote, nothing left to do but fall back on a prearranged set of anchor points, which is, say, between lives area. Pam, he's in that area now, see. And now, the second he's there, they fix his anchor points on that area, and then fix them again on something like a maternity ward. Pam, pam. See, done real fast. People are very amazed. They put people on anemia and they say, well, how long was it between two lives? And they normally find it was 10 or 15 minutes. Real quick. Every once in a while, somebody will come to you and say, you know, I wasn't in a body there for a long time. Or I don't know what I did. I left the body and I don't know what I did. Well, anybody that's counting on the body to be the anchor point, in the absence of a body and in the absence of the other bodies he was surrounded with, of course doesn't have any pattern, so therefore, quote, he doesn't have any memory, unquote. Of course, he has a perfectly good memory of it, but if he was counting on other kinds of anchor points which suddenly were his, then if this was his memory arrangement, and that's gone, then he knows he can't remember. It's not true that he can't remember. See, he doesn't depend on anchor points to remember. Knowledge is not dependent on anchor points. Never was, never will be. So that's the first operation on the track. Well, let's look at the PC. You're going to run him then. He's running up toward operating state and he's doing all right, and the next thing you know, he has this to worry about. His anchor points don't fix well. It's a heck of a note, but they're getting dispersy. Not good. And scattery. Well, he misses, you know, every once in a while they'll take somebody out of prison, send him home, and then the fellow's miserable unless he can live in a closet. Well, this is what happens to him. He his anchor points are not too dispersed, and he's unhappy about it, and so forth. And he will come along, actually, and fix up some kind of a pattern. And then finally say, this is it. You go to process him after that. No, he's decided this is a pattern. So on. No, you're not going to process him anymore. Until this afternoon, when he suddenly realizes this pattern is a fixed pattern, and that it had to be altered about 5 times in the last 5 hours, and he'd certainly better improve his methods of handling patterns. So in the afternoon, he's perfectly willing to be processed. And the process then would merely consist of scattering the pattern which he set up and letting him set up another pattern. If you were doing it by implants. Or, if you're actually becoming an operating thetan, you just make it easier for him to fix and unfix patterns. And that would just be exercises with anchor points. The ability to fix and unfix anchor points, to have and not have space, is the only thing you really work with. Because you're working with somebody in this universe, and this universe gives him the habit of having anchor points and so forth. He'll eventually get to a point where it is terrifically certain to him that he doesn't need anchor points. But that only comes about when he is so expert with them, he finds he can neglect them. See, up to that time, why, he has to count on them. Now, the use of anchor points is to some slight degree in agreement with this universe. But in view of the fact that Thetans made this universe, it's also in agreement with Thetans. In view of the fact that the Preclear himself wants to go on doing this, it's in agreement with him, too. So merely exercises, precision, competence in handling anchor points is your keynote. Well, now let's take this fellow way down scale. He's still in the body. He can't get out of the body. Oh. He's in one of two conditions. Don't ever make a mistake, by the way, of thinking that he is in one condition. If he's occluded. Occlusion can be two conditions. It can be two dispersed or two fixed. See, it's one or the other. And the first thing we would examine with regard to him, did you ever look at watch a play in which somebody was searching through the drawers, of the bureau on the stage and so forth, quickly while, before Albert comes in? You watch somebody searching madly through something and trying to get a job done and just before he's discovered. You know what that feeling is? You had Matahari or something like that. Last night, TV. Guy doing this, they had half of the TV program. He was simply trying to photostat something or other. I bet the audience was ready to fall to pieces, waiting for the CPs to drive up to the door and demand the packet which he had in charge, but he had to photostat it for the FBI. FBI. I heard about this FBI last night. I was very, very curious. I didn't know we had an international police here. And I'm trying to figure out now. I don't think it's a galactic police, but I've got to look into it a little bit further. Might be a system police. So on. I noticed the weapons, though, the clothes that the FBI man wore in it, and no ray gun. So I don't think there's system police. He didn't seem to have a weapon. It's pretty hard to figure out this society. Well, they're probably galactic police. We'll go in for that. Anyway, have you ever seen anybody do that and get a reaction yourself? Get this reaction. That's what's known as suspense. Now, you're not supposed to be caught, is what it's, the postulate sort of goes into it. You're not supposed to be caught doing that. But, what do you know? It's just the problem in anchor points. One of two categories. Not supposed to be there, or supposed to be elsewhere. An anchor point is not supposed to be there, or it is supposed to be elsewhere, or both. And if you just run this as a drill on a PC in a whole bracket, you will get that same emotion turning on in the PC, and it's what's holding him on the time track. He's not supposed to be there. We have added consideration to the position of an anchor point. And that's what a fellow who's very occluded is doing. He's either supposed to be there or he's not supposed to be there in a body. Now, what do you know? These poor people, you know, have inner stimulation most of the time without realizing how intense it is. The idea that they're not supposed to be there or they're supposed to be elsewhere. They always feel it like. It's all right to be home, but it would probably be much better if they were elsewhere. You see, they're really supposed to be elsewhere. Well, when people don't know where they're supposed to be, but they know they're supposed to be elsewhere, that means they've got to go. And you've got the got-to-go case. And they've got to go in all ways, shapes, and forms. They must depart. They don't know why, and they don't have any destination to depart to, but they must depart. They're supposed to be elsewhere. And then there's the case who won't move. And this case, of course, is quite the reverse of it. Not must depart, but he mustn't arrive. In other words, the anchor point must not be at the point B in this little diagram I keep giving you of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 corners of a cube space, and then the little diagonal in it travel from point A in it to point B. You see, he's not quite at A, but he knows he must never be at B. And then he doesn't know where B is, someplace in this cube of space, but he mustn't be there wherever it is, see? He mustn't arrive. The cycle of action is dramatized in this particular society by he mustn't die. In other societies, earlier ones, it was dramatized by he mustn't go insane. Probably this society doesn't use insanity very much. It's minor. But it has this other mechanism, a better solution called death. It thinks that death's a better solution. Quite crazy. But earlier on the track, there wasn't any way to die except, you see, say, I'm no longer responsible. I'm crazy. Now you have driven me crazy, so I'm no longer responsible for my actions, and therefore cannot be punished anymore. Death is only a mechanism to stop things from punishing you. And insanity was the early track mechanism of stopping things from punishing you. Same deal. Same thing. Now, in this society, they go on punishing the insane. And when they dramatize that, that's relatively ancient, but it's quite late on the track, even though it's ancient to us. You see, it's a no solution. You go insane, so they stop punishing you. That's not a good solution. Even today, they're dramatizing the final overcoming of that mechanism. They electric shock the insane or give them prefrontal lobotomies. In other words, if they go insane, they punish them more. In other words, the solution caved in and reversed itself. It was not a solution. Now, death is under attack as the solution. Get this. This is quite important. Death is a good solution for life. Real good solution. He didn't stop dying. Of course, he has to make it convincing. That's why people don't have immediate memory on past lives, not because anybody's tampered with their anchor points, because they tried to be convincing. And death is something you don't remember anything after, as part of its definition. And therefore, if you really want to stop being punished, why, you have to have a complete blank on ever having lived before. See, that's the complete wipeout. This is the wipeout mechanism of past lives. All right. Death right now is under attack. These doctors come around with penicillin, and the guy, he's having a hell of a time trying to get himself knocked off. He's been punished and punished and punished and punished, and he's just sick of it. There are more people around who are having a good time and lots of randomity by using him as the whipping boy, the whipping post, the cutting carcass, anything. See, and there's the family and everybody, and argue, and he's already quit. They start quitting, by the way, inversely on the dynamics. That is to say, they quit at 8, and so on, and slide on up to 1 again. There's an inverse of the inverted dynamic. You see, after all the dynamics have inverted, then they'll invert the other way. For instance, a marsupial, I don't know what's wrong with modern science. They call mammals and marsupials. So then those two words are not in the same class. It always puzzles me every time I run up against it, because a mammal has mammary glands, and so does a marsupial. But a marsupial is that which carries the young internally for a short time, and then they come out and they put them in a pouch and attach them to a mammary gland exteriorly instead of an umbilical cord. Well, the marsupial consistently fails in its contest against placental, what you should call a proper name for would be placental mammals, who simply carry their young all the way forward up to a time when the young are quite well developed and advanced. The marsupial just carries them for a short time. What's this a symptom of? The marsupial, you see, is he's simply quitting on the second dynamic, on the evolutionary chain. And now he's quit almost entirely on the evolutionary chain. See, he wouldn't even carry his young very long before he got rid of them. And what do you know? You chase kangaroo, marsupial, most marsupials. There used to be marsupials all over South America. They have this pouch. There are marsupial bison, the marsupial foxes. There's a marsupial anyway. Marsupial wolf. Still a marsupial wolf in Tasmania. Well, in Australia, they have marsupials instead of mammals. They throw a mammal in there, and immediately the mammal starts winning. Why? He's just younger on the evolutionary track. That's all. Marsupial has been fading out on his evolutionary line for a long time. You chase a kangaroo mother who has a couple of young kangaroos in a pouch. She'll take them out and throw them away. Just like that. It's a mechanism of existence. I mean, that's part of her death. She's willing to die on the future track at the moment. See? And you'll even find human beings doing this. They try to throw their kids away before they kill themselves. And death's a good solution. See? And it's, death is a gradient scale, and it goes inversely up the dynamics. And you just start unconvincing a person, dynamic by dynamic, and they will die eventually, whether you shot them or not. Totally mechanical method of killing somebody. Just be to invert them selectively on each dynamic. If you don't think this is done, just listen to some of the people around in the streets. They're slaving like mad to invert various dynamics up the line and kill everybody around them. They're doing a good job of it, too. It's not arrestable, but it's murder. All right. Now off on the subject of marsupials, I'm just showing you that a line fades out on death. It ceases. Well, what is this? It's a cessation of a pattern of anchor points. It isn't a cessation of the living being, the potential manipulator, arranger of anchor points. Does not die. What dies is the pattern. And people believe that they should look at the pattern. So, that's all there is to look at, they say. So they look at the pattern. And the pattern of the mammal is younger. And the mammal is pretty good shape, the placental mammal. The marsupial has faded out, frankly, all the way around the world. There are marsupials, by the way, just on that in South America. Marsupial cattle. And when the land bridge formed down across the isthmus, Panama, North American cattle, mammal, placental mammal cattle, came in. And boy, the marsupial cattle just disappeared. Well, it wasn't anything to do with the marsupial and the mammal and the survival of the fittest and that sort of thing. Actually, it's just the wearing away and the arranging of anchor points and their decay. I mean, the marsupial would have faded out whether anybody came in from North America or not. You're just getting down. They inverted on the second dynamic. All marsupials would do that, by the way. You get this point. Making this point very strongly, because you're looking at somebody who is trying to die, ordinarily, as a solution. He's been punished too much. Now, you have to resolve this idea with him, that if he goes on living, he won't be punished more. He's going to use processing immediately to kick himself off. Suicide. He wants you to assist him in a suicide. Suicide being illegal. You can be arrested for suicide in this society. Everybody's rushing around trying to keep people from dying and saying that this is mercy. It has nothing to do with it. It's a downright cruelty. You take a battlefield, something like that, the idea of guys going across a battlefield and carefully salvaging what they call wounded. You know, some fellow's got his head blown off, he's still alive, he'll go on living for years, another guy has no limbs left, and he's in horrible shape. I think up to a few years ago, they still had veterans from World War I. Sitting who had been mustard gassed, sitting in tubs of olive oil in Veterans Hospital. How long after the war? Just incredible line. They had veterans around who couldn't speak, who couldn't communicate, who had no limbs, and who could manipulate them. Like, how gruesome do they want to get? They wouldn't dare let any kind of a weapon that this person could manipulate get anywhere in his vicinity, because he'd simply kill himself quick. He thinks he has to kill himself before he can exteriorize and shove off. See? Now you're coming along with a terrific solution. Somebody who's on that computation, you see. And you think he wants to live and be happy. Well, that's your mistake. That isn't his. Because if you pried into it very closely, you find out that this fellow has been punished within an inch of never. All the way down the line. He's just been beaten around and operated on and put into pain. Upset and jailed and hammered and socked until he just... He's just not willing to carry this mock-up on anymore, that's all. It doesn't say he isn't willing to pick up and carry on another mock-up. But this one has an identity. And there are lots of people around that could do this still. So he'd better get rid of them. He better get rid of this identity, rid of this mock-up, put up another mock-up. He'll even get rid of it to the point of completely sacrificing his personal life. If you were to ask a young boy, a 15, 16-year-old kid, well, how would you like to give up all your personal memory and not know that you'd ever even lived before? Are you crazy, he'd say? That's incredible. Oh. Most of the kids out here. A year or two later, when he found out he'd gone into the Army, he'd probably get a softened answer on it. The government put a bar across the time track as a punishment for his being alive. Got to be something that has no adventure, no color, no pay. Up the line, you ask him when he's really been knocked around by existence. Boy, he's just been knocked from one end of existence to the other, and he has enough overt acts sitting around in the community here and there so that he knows sooner or later one of these may catch up with him, only they're undefined and actually aren't covered well in law, and nobody will ever catch up with him. He just feels this to a point where, now you come along and you ask him, how would you like to die and not have any personal memory anymore? And say, gee. Well, of course, personal memory would be a little bit wrong. Like to know I'd been alive, maybe. If he's really, really, really bad off, he'll even sacrifice personal memory. Now compare that to the kangaroo throwing away the children, throwing away her babies. See, inverted dynamics. Memory is something you can throw away. You say, I'm dead. Look, I'm dead, and death is terrible, and that's what you've done to me. The most direct line of accusation that can be pointed at anyone is, you killed me. And the way to really make it stick is to lie there, dead, with no memory of having been alive. You see? Well, what's this PC trying to do that's hard to exteriorize? Get this rule. I told this to you over and over and over and over and over, and I'll tell it to you over and over again. It's just this one. If you can help him do what he's trying to do, he will recover from the condition he's in. Help him do what he's trying to do. You know, every once in a while, somebody is hanging out of the 27th story window of a hotel or something, about to jump, and a big crowd collects down. Everybody yells at him, don't jump, don't jump. And people come around back of him, trying to grab him and pull him back in the window again, that sort of thing. And of course, the fellow jumps. Nobody ever understands exactly how this can be. If they really wanted to save him, they would say, if you go up two more floors, they would call up to him, the drop will be very certainly fatal. Here, I'll drop you a rope so that you can get up two more floors. Here, sit down in that chair. I'm going to haul you up two more floors so that you can jump further. He'll get over his idea of suicide, but he won't jump. Another way, of course, is to take the brute force angle, which works on some portions of the cycle, which is if a cop were to stand down in the street and start shooting at him, You've just pushed him into a higher immediate level of desperation. He'd immediately go back inside the window again. He'd be mad and probably make a complaint to the police department for having tried to kill him. See? Here's the problem of the inverted dynamics and the problem of what your preacher is trying to do. Well, it might come through you now that he's trying to have no anchor points. Because the only way he can be punished is for somebody to grab him. And the total fixation of the case may be upon death. And total fixation on death would be a total fixation on no anchor points. And if you could help the preclear do what he is trying to do, you probably would find your preclear recovering from the conditions in. Because you're trying to change his condition. See? Now, how would you go about solving the case of somebody who, after a few minutes of processing, I mean just a few minutes of processing, pong, 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 on anchor points as given in this bracket of 11, mess bracket of 5, two other universe bracket of 6, bracket of 11, safe breath. And he didn't exteriorize, and he didn't get him much better off. His septic didn't clear up. In other words, you weren't getting a noticeable change, very fast change. Well, you'd certainly just better shift your gears into no anchor points. Get him to have no anchor points. Well, now, if he is really bad off, he'll have to have a kind of no anchor points. He can't have just a no anchor point up there. He's got to have a kind of no anchor point to be up there. In other words, he's really into the reason why. Here again is a case of fixation of attention. You do this very readily. Where is his attention fixed? His attention is fixed upon the body, but it might not be fixed upon the body at all. And we go right back into our inverted dynamics, which we were covering much earlier in the course. Use them for anchor points. He's got his attention fixed on one of those dynamics inverted. No Christ. See, got his attention fixed on no Christ. Well, having put no Christ up in the bracket of 11. See? Now, it might be a position of his body. There might be some chronic somatic he has. Well, don't be grudging this chronic somatic too much because it's something that he's been careful of for a long time. It's the last point of sensation he's got. Rowley with his ping meter over here is get it all set up so the last point of aliveness which the person can have is going to be pushed by the horns. All right, then he's going to wonder why there's a resistance to this machine. Okay. There, he might have a chronic somatic. If he has this chronic somatic, use it in a bracket of 6 anchor points. And then just use the other bracket of 5 on the messed universe, just without any regard to a fixed somatic. And then use this fixed somatic. Call it chronic somatic. We ought to be calling it fixed somatics. I suddenly realized. A fixed somatic is use then 8 times around him in the bracket of 6, and you find things happening to his case. Right up to a certain point. You do that very long, and he starts to fall apart at that point. Why? You're putting too much space into an area. Well, occasionally you go through the shift of punching a hole in what he's got so as to let the affinity out. Honest, you get some very clued case. You'll be amazed if you tell him that to have a white cloud suddenly appearing. Going in all directions like punctured balloons suddenly fly through the air. You've got to let the affinity out. And it wasn't the fact that everybody loved him. He could kill himself off very easy, but these people are dependent upon him. God damn them. It's like Mehitable and the cat, you know. She left them in the emerald Don Marcus's arch in Mehitable. She left the her new litter of kittens in the garbage can. The lid was off. She hoped it didn't rain while she was gone and fill up the garbage can. because she feels so bad if anything happened to them, poor dears. And definitely this frame of mind, people who don't get out of their body easily, there's some of that frame of mind hanging around. Well, they love me and they like me, and I got this responsibility. Take care of one way or the other. Actually, they will often measure up to be very, very responsible beyond anybody's expectation of responsibility. Well, you go immediately from the fixed somatic to the next part of the process with this case is to find the anesthesed area. I remember about anesthesed areas? The anesthesed all the way down the dynamics. Though I has an anesthesia of God, he's gone. All right. We go all the way down the dynamics on anesthesed areas. What do you mean, anesthesed areas? One of the first things you'll find out is he hasn't got a face. Or he hasn't got a head. Or he hasn't got any inside to his head. It's missing. So you just start taking missing parts. Well, if his attention is on the body, you may be able to exteriorize him by just working the body itself on the basis of no face. Now, you say you've got a pain there in the sacroiliac. Now, let's use the sacroiliac. Now, a bracket of six. So, you know, sacroiliac. You're putting up sacroiliacs. He has a pain there. Follow that immediately afterwards. You do then the bracket of five on the mesh universe without any regard to sacroiliacs. Then immediately after that, you would take a look at him. By the way, the ping meter, that's where it really would shine in its present situation there. It's where you found an anesthesed area. Just have him put it up in a bracket of six, that's all. You get, on this basis, you found his nose was anesthesed, so you have him put his nose up on the basis of no noses in a bracket of six, making space out of no noses. It's really interesting. You find some people who've had a lot of tooth trouble. They have lots of tooth trouble. You put up mouths. So forth. We've gotten down into a reason why, and we've gone into this. Well, of course, the best and mostest reason why is they're not supposed to be there. They're supposed to be elsewhere. So if you just get the idea of not supposed to be and put up the idea, now we've really got the case of the vanishing end of nowhere. See, I'll go into this very quickly and make a clean statement of it. You run. The absence of an anchor point as the positions you use for the anchor points. See, no nose, no noses, no faces up eight times. No noses up eight times. And the next thing you do is, of course, use ideas instead of anchor points. You'll find out, practically anybody who's bowed in the society is using words, masses of words as anchor points, or masses of money as anchor points. One or the other. Things are so open, shut case. Or an absence of money as anchor points. Or an absence of words as anchor points. This is the way it looks, works, is. Now, it mustn't be there is used as an anchor point, or must be elsewhere is used as an anchor point. Now, let's go right on into acceptance level processing on space. What kind of space is acceptable to this preclear? We're off onto a brand new technique. We've just moved into four with space station. What kind of space is acceptable to him? Space is full of cobwebs, space is full of dead bodies, space is full of excretia, space is full of what? What kind of space is? Well, some of them will just say, I can have bad space. It's got to be bad space. So we put up bad space all these times. Bracket of six on bad space. Any shape to it? Any points in it? Nope. Just bad space. Bad space for themselves and bad space for other people and other people making bad space for somebody else's and so forth. Because we've got, again, we've entered consideration in anchor points. Now, there's one thing that when I told you yesterday, it would probably take 80 or 100 hours to batter pieces that were in this particular class. It's very simple. They have forewarning on how to keep their anchor points from being rearranged by you. You've told them the technique. They know the technique's going to be run on. So they have an opportunity then to make set the anchor points, which they have, so that you can't disrupt them with this particular threat. So you pan. But there is one that busts it up. And that again goes back to what I was telling the other day about effects. Using bad cause as anchor points, or bad effect as anchor points. Just the thought, bad cause and bad effect. It's quite interesting. But it's more interesting than that is using as anchor points the effect that can't happen again.
Because that's where they're stuck on a time track.
Every time somebody produced an effect upon them with auditing, they knew that was one they couldn't have again. And you say, well, what happened to you in processing? Well, one time I got this marvelous flash of insight into everything, and I just don't get it again. Every time I turn around, I seem to get this marvelous flash of insight, and yet I don't get it anymore, and so forth. I guess I'm just deteriorating, decaying. Actually, what they're doing is following out their goal of vanishing on all the dynamics. The mock-ups vanish. They vanish. The reality vanishes. The mock-ups vanish. The anchor points vanish. Everything starts vanishing, vanishing, vanishing. And then pretty soon, they're gone too. That was a relief. Then punished them. So, let's just look at that. This could be, the word is overly severe. This isn't the succumb case. This person is trying to survive. He's trying to survive now by being somebody else or being somewhere else and having another body, certainly.
Please note, at this point in the lecture, a gap exists in the original master recording. We now return to the class where the recording resumed.
Continuing the morning lecture of the 29th of October. You can rationalize, that is to say, justify or excuse any of this you want. But your overt act motivator sequence is what is worrying your people who are trying to succumb. That should have been obvious to you. Like I said, they were trying to die. They've been punished too much, and this means they could be punished more. And they don't dare give anybody an excuse to punish them anymore. So their overt act motivator sequence is worrying. Now you can take somebody in Scientology, and you can make him run as anchor points. This is very specialized to Scientology or Dianetics. You can make him run as anchor points his concepts concerning the subject, such as his overt act motivator sequence. See? You just say, all right, now make 8 anchor points out of the overt act motivator sequence. It's very interesting. Use survive as anchor points. Use this as anchor points, that as anchor points. You can simply blow him to pieces. Now, a case who's really doesn't want to cave in, but is caving in, and so forth, will use as anchor points just this one thing, processing. That's very hard. I see a couple of that ones are well up around here, having to think for a moment before they can get that one in. But that's a fact. These people's condition is being solved by processing, not solved by getting well. Because they know that in these techniques I've been working with and getting together here and we've been studying and so forth, that the method to die painlessly is contained. To not be anymore with a total justification for not being anymore. You see? And that's their total. And they're trying to solve, how do you die? How do you pass away and not be? How do you render yourself unpunishable? So that you can get a few licks in yourself so that you can't be identified and still retain some personal memory on what you're doing. The death is not the perfect solution. It's a good solution. It's not a perfect solution. See, so they're trying to better the solution of death before they take it as a plunge. Now, you'd say these people are suicidal. Well, every once in a while, out in public or something of the sort, I've mentioned the fact that psychoanalysts, during psychoanalyzing, And the 3 months succeeding our work with a psychoanalyst, the incidence of suicide is fabulous. It's just out of sight. I mean, any psychoanalyst, you could just sit back knowing nothing about his practice or anything of the sort, simply say, well, the suicides during the last month rather condemn what you're doing, don't they? And he'll explain to you carefully how these three boys and these two ladies all came to him too late. He could have done something for them, but they came too late. You didn't even know there had been any suicides in his practice. You can just pick up a shotgun and just fire just on that basis, and you've got it. There sure were. So, why is that? Well, these people have gone to the psychoanalyst to find out if there's some easier way to solve this thing than by going crazy or by dying. Is there some way I can unload all this affinity with which I'm burdened so that I can then be completely free? These people who want to be completely free, they want to be free of affinity so that they can kick the bucket. And they find out there's no solution in psychoanalysis, so they just chuck in the sponge and blow their brains out or take strychnine, so forth. There's, you know what to do about such a case? Pull it apart. Acceptance level processing on space. He doesn't want to be there. Use the anchor points that the effects which won't happen again. The effects in processing which I can't have. You know, no effects from processing as anchor points. You'll find out that he starts to settle down to a long grind. He's depending on processing. He isn't depending on getting well. He isn't depending on getting better. He isn't depending on being more able or anything else. He's just depending on that one thing, processing. You take a capitalista, we have such a case, don't we? He's using as anchor points dollars and no dollars. And that's the total anchor point. You wonder why it is you go into a home that's not furnished in any good taste or anything, somebody on the street. He'll sit around and tell you about having made $25,000 that day by tipping Joe Blow and company and so forth. And if you involve him in domestic affairs, it will simply be the cost of the rug, the price of the Van Gogh he has hanging up on the wall. I see a number of signs. I've never even had conversations with this guy. Van Gogh doesn't exist there, you see. There's only Van Gogh there. There's something like $75,000 hanging on the wall. Everything is money. That's an anchor point. Money is an anchor point. Now, of course, their contest then comes, how do we grab everybody's anchor point? How do we get hold of everybody's anchor point? Then we can't have this kind of anchor point, so let's jettison this kind of anchor point, and we'll have charity one way or another, so they can well, charity, can't make any money out of it. Just give it away. Then they find out belatedly that it costs them money, too, but it's rather surprising. That's the way it goes. Everybody has an anchor point which he's fixed on. If you hit it as a PC, he's a soft case. Everybody has an anchor point he doesn't dare look at. Now, we've been going heavily on. He won't look. Don't think, look. I've been waiting for somebody to pick it up on the reverse side because this is, process has been out long enough. A matter of fixed and unfixed anchor points. To date, nobody's mentioned it to me. They should have. This bait line. There's the guy who's got to look. He looks and he looks and he looks and he looks. And that is to say, he can't get any space into what he's looking at, so he can't disperse. Now, you get the idea of a fixed beam going straight at one thing only. That's no space. That is no ability to spread one's attention span. And the preclear who's handling his body with beams has surrendered to this idea that we've got to have these fixed spans on these certain subjects which are unmovable. And that, in essence, is automaticity. You need to start letting space into it. Well, how about letting space out of a case? You know that people will actually, they love this exercise of trying to make hard space. Trying to make hard, close, closed, tight space. So, we start running brackets of six, whereby we pull in all the anchor points to a nice, tight, closed space. We don't let it explode. You know. Just have small pricks. Pull in eight anchor points and again have a small space. Eight anchor points and again have a small space. So, bracket six. People making small spaces for other people. Bracket six. Tiny spaces. Infinitesimally small and a great many of them for other people. Some of these people have let in enough space accidentally into their body at one time or another, so they felt their body, some of them have, and just suddenly going to go this way. Boom. They've got too much space, too much affinity, too much this and that. So just let some of it out. Well, people will begin to desire hate. They've gone too far on the no space. I don't know if anything else in this piece of paper, I haven't looked at it so far, but it says up here at the top, it says suspense, guilty, wrong. You know, must be elsewhere in terms of an anchor point. That's guilt. Or I must be here and I'm not. Guilt. Now get the lag index of the mesh universe. Star explodes a million years later by mesh universe waves, you see it. You can see it instantaneously yourself. So, something might have happened somewhere which is now traveling toward one. See, and he probably shouldn't be there. And this is anxiety. I probably shouldn't be here because something is liable to arrive here at any moment, although I can't perceive anything even on the road to arriving here. That's the lag. And you'll find this person runs longer and longer communication lags. They're more and more concerned with the fact that it takes time for the message to get to them using message messages. All right. I noticed here at that startup, this is quite a button. Wasting effects that could be produced on you. This is a button in passing. Use that for anchor points. Effects that could be produced upon you. And you'll find out all sorts of strange things turn up to your PC. Now, it says, Satan wastes by giving things to the body, or giving effects to the body. And that is the little hidden sneaker that a person processing who isn't well exteriorized yet runs into. He thinks it's perfectly reasonable because he's doing it too. He thinks the fellow has an effect because it happened to the body. None. The fellow has wasted if it happened to the body. The Satan wastes effects by having them happen to the body. That's a method. Now, as one produces effects continually, the motivators must be adequate. You go on producing effects all the time, and all of a sudden, no effects are produced on you. Boy, it's really out of balance. See, it stuck flows. Good old stuck flows. Well, we've covered negative anchor points. Here's a real hot button. There's hope as an anchor point. And reassurance as an anchor point. I ran reassurance on a case one time. I ran two things on a case one time. Reassurance and logic was all I ran on this case. Using some of these techniques I've been doing. Gee, I thought I'd have that fellow splattered all over the universe before I got through. I've never seen quite as much commotion. Oh yes, and stopping the motions of the opposite sex. That was it. Reassurance, logic, stopping the emotions of the opposite sex, and hope. The guy goes to running consistently on hope. You see, he's waiting for, and you as an auditor trying to get an effect, well, he can only wait for an effect. It's rather silly. You see, he's lag-timed behind the auditory. Also knew a case one time that couldn't get an effect from auditing until 2 days had gone by. That's nice, long communication like. That's all it is. Process something on this case, and 2 days later, why it would happen. How far removed might you say this person was from his own reality control? Pretty far. And the absence of effect one had once, just as he went. Let's use anchor points now, absences of effects that you had. There's another way of stating something. And particularly, no face and no body as negative anchor points. What's a negative anchor point? It's using something that isn't there as an anchor point. Using the fact that it's not there. Now, people do this who are rather high-toned. Well, gee, it's a beautiful day. There's no trouble anyplace. I don't know how these two things go together, but they manage that. It's a beautiful day, very restful, wonderful. I just feel great. There's no trouble anyplace. It might be a terrible day, you see. They just don't see any day about it. The only thing they're concentrated upon is the fact they haven't immediately been accosted by trouble. Now, people get to a point where they will actually live from moment to moment on the no anchor point of trouble. See? No trouble. They can live for minutes and breathe. No trouble. Another thing, of course, that goes with that mustn't be and the negative guilt and so forth, that is a change of space drill. And it runs as a change of space drill. Let me make that much more clear. That doesn't belong with anchor points. It's a change of space drill. Change of space processing. All right, now let's get the place you're supposed to be and aren't. Be in the place you're supposed to be and aren't. All right, let's be where you are and waiting. Supposed to be and aren't. Where you are and waiting. Give Terry's plumb dumb head off. You can actually use that process to take a five. Bodily blasting. Blasting, I mean, that's it, because you're running back through, which you can expect him to be pretty doggone jittery in running this process. Now, I heard of a little girl yesterday, just footnote to this lecture this morning, somebody should take this lady today. I'll mention this case. I have to mention her name, because it's her case. Her name is Allgood, A-L-L-G-O-O-D. And, of course, what she's using as anchor points, now that she is unable to be all good, is, of course, no evil. And she actually has a rough problem. She has a little orphan and wanted processing for the little orphan. I said we'd better process the guardian of the orphan. She, by the way, I didn't say that. She said so. The doctor, cooperating with us, gave this little orphan a short run. Pam, pam. There's nothing. And upset the case just out of this world. Not because of inexpertness. What do you know? This is one of the first times I've ever seen this happen. Might have used it too rapidly and didn't use it on a gradient scale. But contact processing failed in that doctor's hand on a 12-year-old girl. Step 7, SOP 8. She couldn't get the little girl to touch the room. The girl's guardian was going on and telling me great length all about this. And going to tell me all about the case and just simply told me in so many words what the other doctor had done and all that sort of thing. And she just no more went into that and said, well, the little girl was terribly upset and very agitated after she'd seen this doctor because the doctor wanted her to touch the wall. And she was very nervous and very upset, so I wouldn't want that to happen to her. Well, I don't know, it might have been personality conflict or something like that. But my God, look at that case. I said, madam, you have told me all that you need. This kid is in school. Parents are divorced. Nobody cares about her. Nobody cares for her. cases. This is a running not want to be in this universe, with only the velocity which could be assumed by a 12-year-old girl. Nobody can get her to touch a room. My God, how does she bear a walk? She probably doesn't. If you would process this little girl, you'd probably start in right there at a constant point of contact, which is a thief against the law. Very, very interesting. I never even had a psycho take off on that line. This doctor must have either done it to it too fast, too much rapidity involved, or just loved it up entirely. Okay, this lady, by the way, will be in for 3 o'clock, and I don't know. We could just do all kinds of things with this case, undoubtedly, but I think the short run by somebody here might do something. Just charity things. Somebody for you to work on. What if somebody shaking his head though? What would you do with that case, though? I just told you about the lady. What would you do with the lady? Miss Allgood. That's right. Also, because it's Miss Allgood, you would put up no man as anchor points. She mentioned. You could do this on a 6-way drill. I would go at the case that way. I'd get real smart about this case. I'd get real sneaky about this case. I'd do something very covert. I'd use SOPA. And say, well, all right, now, can you get the idea? Can you be something 3 feet back your head? It's just a test we do. It just measures the amount of reaction time you have on being startled. Good. Now, can you get a picture of yourself out there, standing, facing, or you well? Don't have any truck with the mental pictures. Well, some people do, you see. It's very wrong when they do. Of course, we know that. All right. Now, let's see if you could get a white ball out in front of you there and hold it steady. That being still the best test I know for a 30 without going a bit further lines. No, you can't. It keeps flying off at odd angles. Well, I would just jump for and go into exteriorization by scenery, maybe. Probably skip that. Well, now let's remember something. There we go. Well, you would feel much better, and everything would work out fine. In the case of the little girl, if somebody had done SOP-8, they might have sprung a lock or two or oriented her up to a point where you could have done step 7. Because the little girl might have been in an anxiety concerning what was going to happen to her in that office. A lot of factors could have entered in there. That's just a bad deal when you can't get a little kid to touch a wall. I would have asked her to touch some nest, not a wall. A wall is something that stops one. This girl was very literal. I said, what is the realest thing there is in this room, you know, this routine, standard procedure? What's the realest thing in this room to you? Oh, I am? Okay. What part of me is the most? My shoe. Good. Let's see if you can touch it. Good. Now let's see if you can withdraw it. Good. What's something else we need? Oh, still me. Well, all right. Now, how about reaching out and touching my fingers? Okay. Withdraw. All right. What else is... looks good and real to you. Oh, you think that bag of cigarettes looks quite real. Why don't you reach out? It's a gradient scale doing step 7. You let them determine what's real to them. In other words, you're asking them, what can you touch around here? When you say what's real, you're saying, what can you touch? A person's reality is as great as they can touch the anchor points of space with which they're surrounded. There isn't any more to reality than that. If you ever had one of these shocking, horrible moments of awful bad news being given to you and have felt the entire meshed universe just move in on you, like that, be right here, for instance. You'll know if you've ever processed pre-clear, when he hit these moments of unreality, it's just completely unfixed attention, see? No attention. You're at a point of the no attention, which is no anchor points, no space, no nothing, and you've brought him to the inconceivable point of zero. What's his reality on that? We can't have any reality because it's untouchable in the first place. The actual thing he made there is something that can't be touched. And once in a while, you'll have a pre-clear mock up something and you can't find out anything about it. That's hell of a time. You can't discover what he has mocked up. They'll do that for two reasons. Way upscale, that's just a game. Mock up something that you have. That has tremendous no significance. Okay, any questions? He shouldn't have been writing them down now. That's right. Because that piece of paper can't remember a thing. That's all right, though. When one turns around and starts to instruct on this, normally you have to be able to do it. It's a good thing to have notes. But it's better to know your subject. Eight is it. Now, on step two, what would you tell them to do? Oh, I just get a picture of yourself out there with your back to you. People will make all sorts of weird comments to you when you ask them to do these things. A picture of me? That's childish. One's supposed to have pictures, you see. Actually, you take the pre-clear right at that moment and do some very interesting tricks with them. You could say, all right, get something out in front of you. Say, now I'm supposed to. Now I'm not supposed to. Now I'm supposed to. Now I'm not supposed to. Just have something to say that in front of the pre-clear people. And they go, yeah. They sure know something's happened. Okay. Let's call it a morning.